This is our number
2222222.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
And we do have some breaking news. I don't know if CBS mentioned this at the top of the hour, but the stock market closed 7 minutes ago, up 73 points. In June, the Dow Industrial was up 7%. That is the best June for the Dow, for the S&P 500 since 1938. 81 years, the best performance in the stock market. And as I'm hearing this news, I'm reminded of one of the really annoying lies that was told during the debate last night. So it's the rest of the soundbite. I played for you the soundbite where Kamala Harris said, "We don't want a food fight. People care about having how we're going to put food on their table." And I said, "Government doesn't put food on our table. We do by our hard work. Government should just get out of the way." And anybody who applauds at the notion that government will put food on your table, you better be willing to have government take it away, too, if you're not going to rely on yourself. But then Kamala Harris went on to say this.
Part of the issue that is at play in America today, and we've all been traveling around the country, I certainly have, I'm meeting people who are working 2 and 3 jobs. You know, this president walks around talking about and flouting his great economy, right? My great economy, my great economy. You ask him, well, how are you measuring this greatness of this economy of yours? And he talks about the stock market. Well, that's fine if you own stocks.
Which 50% of Americans are invested in some way in the stock market. So, yeah, we're talking about half of America. Does better from that. But then she also mentioned, she's going to mention it again, she knows all these people who work 2 and 3 jobs, she says.
So many families in America do not. You ask them, how are you measuring the greatness of this economy of yours? And they point to the jobless numbers and the unemployment numbers. Well, yeah, people in America are working. They're working 2 and 3 jobs. So when we talk about jobs, let's be really clear. In our America, no one should have to work more than one job to have a roof over their head and food on the table.
Okay, now, I don't know where she's getting that number, because it is an absolute bold-faced lie. From the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the number of Americans who have a full-time job who also work a second part-time job is 2.3%. And then 0.2% work 2 full-time jobs. So she talks about all these people who work 2 and 3 jobs. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's absolutely not true. The stats don't back it up. Fewer than 3% of Americans work more than one job. And the other fact of the matter is, under the Obama administration, 95% of the new jobs created during Obama's two terms, were part-time jobs, because employers weren't giving anybody more than 32 hours a week because of Obamacare. 95% of new job growth under Obama was part-time jobs. And so for her to go on and just spew these lies, and again, I don't see any fact-checking of CNN, MSNBC, of the lies that she was out there spewing. All they did was tell us, oh, she did so great, she won the night. Yeah, she wins the night if you're ignorant enough to be spun, or if you're willing enough to be spun. So that's the truth. On the numbers, the unemployment's at record lows, and job wage growth is as resurgent as it's been in decades in America. So for the things that really do matter to the average American, yes, the economy's doing very, very, very well right now. Okay, so that's the breaking news. Dow, best month for the stock market since best June since 1938. Okay, let's get to the local news here. Before I get to the local news, remember how I said a couple weeks ago that I'm trying to engage people more in my personal life?
Yes.
And I specifically mentioned a guy that I've seen, because there's one deli that I really like.
Mm-hmm. It's in your neighborhood.
It's between my neighborhood and work. It's
okay.
Fred Meyer.
Okay.
I think they do a really good job with this one particular beef Highlander sandwich.
Oh, okay.
So I get that maybe once a month.
Okay.
And for the last couple of years, there's been a guy who's worked there at the Lake City, Fred Meyer. And every time I see him, he's just hustling as hard as any worker I've seen. He's always friendly. Mm-hmm. And so I made a point of just noticing his name tag when I was talking to him today. Not because I didn't tell him. He doesn't even know where I work. He doesn't care where I work. He just treats everybody this way. I just wanted to say, if I were a business owner and I had an opening for somebody who just hustles and seems to give it all, Jordan at the deli at the Lake City Fred Meyer is one of the hardest working, friendliest guys I've seen.
Nice.
So I wanted to give a specific shout out by name. He doesn't know that I work on the radio, but I'd love people to just tell Jordan that I notice and I appreciate how friendly and hardworking he is every time I go in there.
That's really cool that you did that. Now, the next time you go in, walk over to that customer service desk and tell his manager.
I just did.
Assuming.
somebody
That's
will.
Really cool.
Somebody
That's
should.
Really
they
cool.
They have a customer service desk there?
Yes.
Okay.
It's my Fred Meyer, too.
Okay. All right. I will. Okay. We got a lot of local news to get to here in the Fastest 15. Lots of craziness still in our region, no doubt born of the drug problems that we have. Up on Beacon Hill, a guy, this is really disturbing, guy stripped off all of his clothes and then naked tried to rob two 11-year-old girls. Our news partners at Cairo 7 TV, they talked to a homeless woman named Gypsy Vielli, who saved these two girls from the naked guy who was trying to rob them.
All sitting here having a barbecue. The lady, the Mexican lady, sent her children to the store. And this guy came butt naked. Tried to grab the little girl and her money.
Just as a point of clarification. Is butt naked the same as naked? Is there any difference?
Well, she's making it clear that it's not just he was without his shirt or without his...
Or
know,
just in his underwear. Like, a lot of people say naked.
There's also buck naked. That's another...
Yeah. Emphasizes. Yeah.
But I think in her case, she saw his butt
actually naked.
So he was butt naked. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
He was no clothes on. He's like 6'2", something like that. He's a sex offender. What would you think? No, and he's trying to grab the little girl, man, and I saved the little girl. I grabbed her, and everybody took off, chasing him down that way. We all chased him down. Everybody's ready to whip his ass. And then the construction workers were down there. They were trying to block him. They put out their sticks, like, trying to block him. We chased them all down, and then that's when the police came.
And she said
that, just to be clear, when she's talking about everyone or they.
Yeah.
She's talking about other homeless people.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like the whole group of homeless people are right there.
The homeless people, the construction workers, she said that they were pretty sure this guy was a sex offender.
He was naked trying to steal this little girl. Sex offenders out here, no ways, man. It doesn't happen with us because we're deep family. You're going to do that in front of me? Sorry about your bad luck, boy. I'm going to whip your ass.
Good for her. I like her.
I like her.
Here's 11-year-old Armani Dominguez Hernandez, who described how the man tried to rob them.
We saw this, like, naked man running all over there, and we saw his clothes right over there. Like, he did it on purpose.
And as Cairo 7 TV told us...
Turns out in 2016, he was arrested for exposing himself to four children at Beacon Hill Elementary just a few blocks away. The court agreed to amend his charges if he agreed to get treatment, but officials say he never did. Prosecutors say it's troubling that the court dropped the first case without following through with any mandated treatment, since it allowed Bauer to get back on the streets to potentially harm other children.
How many of these stories are we going to have where the court says, yeah, just go and do something. They have no way of tracking it, and they're letting sex offenders run around naked. They're letting rapists run around assaulting the rape victim.
He went right back to the neighborhood where the previous crime had been committed.
And have you seen, I didn't put this in my rundown, but have either of you seen the video of this young woman down in Portland? There's a real famous donut place in Portland called Voodoo.
Voodoo, yes.
Voodoo Donut. So it's a security camera on the street right outside. And there's a young woman, I can't tell if she's a waitress, but she looks like she might be mid-20s and she's... There's a table where it looks like there's outdoor seating. And there's a guy standing about 5 feet away from her, young guy. And he's kind of flexing in the middle of the street. And then he winds up and he throws a complete blindside to right in this woman's face. Shattered her eye socket.
Oh, man.
They caught him. Released him with a misdemeanor. I mean, it is insane. It looked like a felony assault that should lock him up for 8 years. And they released him immediately with a misdemeanor for shattering the eye socket by, you know, blindside.
Did they say, oh, because he's mentally ill? Or
clearly that's why. Yeah, I mean, he just cheap-shotted and blindsided this woman. The video is horrifying because he connects with her the first time, and that looks like the one because he wound up. I mean, he was spinning at her. And then he punches her a second time in the face, and people go to help her, and he just starts walking down the street. And these guys are, like, pointing him out, but they're not chasing him down. You know, he looked like a young, fit guy who punched this woman. It's absolutely horrifying. And these things are going to keep happening as long as we keep playing catch and release and we're spending all of our money on things that aren't working instead of locking up these criminals that are running around out there. Okay, next up, in the Fastest 15, did you hear about the Dalai Lama?
What is happening?
He always struck me as kind of a shady dude. So, no, the Dalai Lama... Who's the Richard Gere? Richard Gere loves him, goes and worships.
Well, a lot of people love him.
Yeah, he's the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the Dalai Lama did an interview, and now another journalist wanted him to clarify what he had said. The Dalai Lama said he would be okay being replaced by a woman as the spiritual leader of the people of Tibet. But only if the woman is hot. He does not want an ugly or average-looking woman replacing him as Dalai Lama.
You once said that you would be open to a female successor.
That also possible.
You also told one of my colleagues that female must be attractive, otherwise it's not much use.
Okay, yes.
Can you see why that comment upset a lot of women?
That's one time. If female Dalai Lama comes, and it should be more attractive, if female Dalai Lama, dead people.
Okay, and
he was scrunching up his face.
Yeah, it's hard to understand, but he said, if there's a female Dalai Lama, she should be attractive. And then he scrunches up his face and said, we don't want someone who looks like dead people, meaning ugly, I guess.
Dead people. I think prefer not see a dead face.
Can you see why a lot of women, though, found that quite offensive when you said it?
So one Indian, you see, because of some complaint about my sort of, that sort of my kasata expression. But okay. I think they themselves, I think if there's opportunity to ask whether they spend some money for makeup.
Okay. So if they spend a lot of money on makeup, even the average looking might be able to make themselves look attractive enough to be his successor.
I mean, this is someone who's known for preaching a message of tolerance and peace and acceptance.
Ursula, what have I been telling you for decades? They're all charlatans. They're all charlatans.
I'm just...
I think they must.
You want to hear more from them?
Do something.
A lot of women would say that's objectifying women. And it's about who you are inside, isn't it?
Yes, I think both. Real beauty is inner beauty. That's true.
Yeah, but...
Okay. That's good.
But we human being, I think the appeal is also important.
Yes, the appeal is important. So... Now, I'm going to be doing this show for a long time, but I would like to engage in talks with management about my succession plan.
If you could hand select.
Yes, I would be open, just so everyone knows.
You'd be open to a woman.
I'd be open with a woman taking over the show whenever I'm done years and years from now.
I can't say it. That's going to be plucked out, and that's going to be played over and over again.
I couldn't even... The guy who's got no retainer, muffler at all. What's the word I'm looking for?
Filter.
Filter. That's what I'm looking for.
Retainer and muffler would work, too.
Even I couldn't get myself to say that. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, Megan Rapinoe, who plays professional soccer here in Seattle. She's the one who, a couple of days ago, she was asked if the women win the World Cup, would they go to the White House? She said, I'm not going to the bleeping White House. And it's just crude, and she's, you know, she won't put her hand over her heart and sing the anthem like all of her teammates do, even though she's the captain of the United States national team. And now she is responding to the criticism.
I stand by the comments that I made about not wanting to go to the White House, with the exception of the expletive. My mom will be very upset about that. But I think obviously entering with a lot of passion, considering how much, you know, time and effort and pride we take in the platform that we have, and using it for good and for leaving the game in a better place and hopefully the world in a better place. I don't think that I would want to go, and I would encourage my teammates to think hard about lending that platform or having that co-opted by an administration that doesn't feel the same way and doesn't fight for the same things that we fight for.
That you fight for. Get over yourself. And then finally, in the Fastest 15, I wish I owned the Wayfair Bed Company.
Why?
Wayfair Beds.
It's not Wayfair Bed. It's just they got all sorts
the
of furniture.
Wayfair Company.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. But they entered into a deal because they didn't want the children sleeping on concrete down at the border detention centers. So they sold a bunch of beds to the border concentration camps. And yesterday, a bunch of Wayfair employees who are furious that they did business with these detention centers, they walked off the job in mass protest.
When we see something like this, we want to be like, no, you know what? This is not a customer we want to have.
I just want to make sure that we work for a company that isn't profiting off of what's happening at the border. I'm concerned about human rights violations. I'm concerned about attacks on children, separating them from their families.
Every company has something to hide. Every company has dead bodies in the closet somewhere.
I would fire every single one of them faster.
And you would have no employees.
Then I'd ship all the furniture myself, and I'd work 19, 20, 21 hours
a day. The way you pitched it, they didn't want the kids to not be sleeping. Wayfair sold it to that contractor because they wanted to make money, and
of course
that's what a company does.
Of course.
But you know what? This is what I find interesting. And there's a new poll out that says, especially with millennials, they're especially bold when sticking up, you know, for their principles and going against their bosses. I mean, up to 48% say they have spoken up, compared with 33% of Gen X and 27% of baby boomers.
I'd fire every last one of them. They're all on video. But what's the other thing I noticed in playing the soundbite? They all seem to talk incredibly fast. Did you notice that they all have really fast speech patterns? Every one of them that was talking.
I'm concerned about human rights violations. I'm concerned about attacks on children, separating them from their families.
Every company has something to hide. Every company has dead bodies in the closet somewhere.
Did we speed up the tape?
Well, maybe, and they've also been edited. So,
yeah. I just want to make sure that we work for a company that isn't profiting off of what's happening.
That's the third one. They all talk really fast. They're at the Wayfair Company, and they've walked off the job because they don't like the
business
results of the detention centers.
Did you know that 8,000 employees for Amazon have signed on to this employee for climate justice thing, and they've actually made Amazon, you know, consider some changes. So I think these employees think, hey, I don't want to just work for a company. I want to work for a company I believe in.
But then the kids don't get beds. So then these kids that you're worried about are sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's the issue.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's the ridiculousness of it.
It's just so dumb.
The kids don't get beds. Don't think that was the point.
Well, that would be the end result if nobody sells beds.
But they're trying to make it better. They're trying to make the situation better down there, and taking away the beds is not the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. This woman really disagrees with you.
I'm concerned about human rights violations.
Okay, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Urson's going to check the news, and then we're going to hear from you. It's our Feedback Friday. See what you've been sending us all week. Coming up next. are always taking your feedback and input on the Online Trading Academy text line, which is 98973. I'm always checking out all of your comments, but we also like to set aside some dedicated time on Fridays just to hear from you.
Feedback Friday.
A lot of people commenting this week on the effort by Seattle Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, along with Bernie Sanders, to just eliminate $1.6 trillion in college debt in this country. And Alicia in Bellevue sent a great message about that. Dory, concerning Bernie Sanders and Pramila Jayapal's college debt bill, they say the bill will pay off everyone's outstanding student debt. My oldest daughter had numerous jobs during school to be able to graduate in 4 years with BS in finance 3 years ago. She sacrificed and saved to pay off her $30,000 debt, which she did a couple of months ago. Does she get a refund? I'm sure you can imagine what it took to save $30,000 in 3 years. My younger daughter just graduated with a business degree from Eastern Washington. She took the six-year route, went to community college for her AA, then to the satellite campus for Eastern at Bellevue College. She worked 2 to 3 jobs for 6 years and lived at home most of the time, all to graduate debt-free. Does she get anything from Bernie or Pramila for working hard and not borrowing? How can this be fair and equitable? It's not. It's not at all. Under, you know, the vision of Bernie Sanders and Pramila Jayapal, the laziest people in America should be rewarded for that. And by the way, I've gotten so much feedback because I've also said, yes, you can work your way through college. It sucks. And I had people saying, Dory, you don't know what costs are like now. It's not like when you were a kid. Now, there are a lot of things that are different now, including the fact that 25% of undergrads at the University of Washington do not pay tuition. Are you aware of that? 25% of the lowest income undergrads on the Husky Promise, and they have the Cougar Promise at Wazoo. No, I didn't get free tuition when I was a kid. So, first of all, we've got a program so the poorest people pay no tuition. And then there's one other thing that I heard from a bunch of people that I didn't even mention that I wish I had, and I will now. You want somebody else to pay for your college? Join the Army. Join the Navy. Join the Air Force. Get in the military. Be a Marine. They'll pay for your college, but you actually have to exchange something for all of those freebies, and that is your time, your labor, your effort, your dedication to country. And so, yes, Pramila Jayapal and Bernie Sanders, they are appealing to the laziest, most slovenly people among us. You want to pay for your college, we got lots of programs. You got Pell Grants, you got Husky Promise, you got GI Bill. There are a lot of ways where anybody who wants to go to college and not be on the back of other people. And here's the other thing. You aren't owed anything. Nobody owes you a house or a car or a fancy college education. You want all those things? Work for it. Earn it. But that's not the way. In this Democrat debate last night, it was disgusting. Made me want to puke listening to how they all want to just pander for votes by giving away other people's labor so people can get so-called free college. I agree with you, Alicia. It is disgusting. Also, from Kevin in Richland, you don't appreciate what you get for free, he said. Dory, I'm conflicted by the plans of the Democrats to make college free. I like the idea of making college more affordable for all people, but making it free will come with many unintended consequences. Just looking at high school dropout rates for public schools, for instance, will tell you that with no skin in the game, it's too easy to start and just not finish. It seems to me the tuition should not be eliminated, but reduced. People by nature will push themselves more when they have something on the line versus getting something for free. I'll give you my personal experience and observation as a parent. our kids had to earn, like when they wanted phones, when they were, I don't know, 14, 15. They had to earn the money themselves. My wife and I didn't just give them a phone. And if they broke or lost their phone, they could replace it when they could afford to replace it by working. And I knew kids, you know, friends of my daughters and also girls that I coach. If they lost or broke their phone, mommy and daddy would just buy them a new one. Guess how many times those kids lost or broke their phone compared to the kids who have to work for their own phone. I mean, it's just, it's a night and day difference. You're out of touch on student loans, says Tina in Tacoma. I've been a fan since my son was four, and I was a struggling college student, full-time employee, and single mother. My son is now 17, and I cannot believe how out of touch you have become on the subject of student loans. I'd like to know exactly how I was supposed to get out of poverty without an education that is not free. I even heard you say that not everyone needs to go to college. I believe that it should be a choice. For many, it's either debt in education or poverty. You, Dory, have become privileged and out of touch, and it's a sad day. So your question is, how are you supposed to get an education that is not free? I'm sorry you feel like you need to ask that question. On the different laws that we have, heroin addicts can shoot up heroin in the middle of the street, but people drinking on Friday night can't walk down the street with an open bottle of beer. Protesters can lie in the street for hours, creating gridlock. But if you jaywalk getting to your office building, you can be ticketed. KC simply asks, can I self-identify as an illegal immigrant and not get charged for a crime? You should try. You absolutely should try. And from Paul via Facebook about Sound Transit. Here are some possible future Sound Transit projects. ST5. Have all the water slides at Wild Waves and at the Boeing plants and Amazon headquarters. ST6, put LSD in the drinking water so everyone can take a trip without going anywhere. Shh, Paul. They might be listening. Okay, all of that is your feedback on this Friday. Appreciate it. We're always checking Facebook and the text messages and the emails that you send us, and we appreciate not only all the feedback, but also all the exclusive topic tips that you give us. And we have lots. Oh, by the way, is everything on schedule for our special guest at 2 o'clock?
I believe so. Why wouldn't it be on schedule?
The governor of the state of Washington, Gary Locke, former governor, is coming into the studio. And I think we're going to argue a little bit. Are they ready to tussle?
He was excited about the census decision. And he knew you wouldn't be.
Okay. All right. I'm going to tussle with the former governor live in studio right after the top of the hour. So we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I still have a lot of audio from last night's debate that I haven't yet gotten to, that I wanted to share with you, because it was bad. It was just bad. Kamala Harris is getting all this praise, but I've already dissected a couple of the things she said that were just lies or flat out bad for America. But there's so much more, including, and this is what I'm going to ask Gary Locke about. Former governor's going to be in studio with me in a few minutes here, but they asked about health care for illegals.
This is a show of hands question, and hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Okay. All 10 on the stage raised their hands. So at a time when we have a lot of American citizens who are suffering and who are having trouble with health care, we've got people living on the streets. We have veterans. We have military veterans living on the streets. And every member of that debate panel last night said that they would give health care to illegals in America. And that's the main thing that Gary Locke and I are going to talk about, and I'm sure debate. when he's in here with me next hour. But on and on it went. This was interesting. Remember when Joe Biden got in the race? Chris Matthews on MSNBC, he was so excited, he almost peed himself on the air.
I thought that message today was very, very thrilling to me. I thought it was very American. I thought it was great. In fact, ending up with Dr. King, Normandy, the whole thing, putting us together was a powerful message. But I think the message to Democrats is don't blow this one. You blew it in 2016. You lost to Trump. Nobody should have ever lost to Trump. You could do it again. So don't go with having a lot of fun in the next year and a half, following flavor of the month stuff. Don't enjoy yourself. Sober up. Pick the best candidate to beat Trump, because nobody wants to be around the Democratic Party the day after losing to Trump twice. Nobody's going to be forgiven for that. So shake yourselves up, sober up, and pick the guy that can prevent this guy from staying in the White House for, as he put it, 8 years.
Okay, so that was Joe Biden, was Chris Matthews' guy a few weeks ago. Last night, what did Chris Matthews do? He picked the flavor of the, not only the month, he picked the flavor of the day, Kamala Harris.
An amazing night in history, I thought, tonight. And I want to ask you about...
Chris Matthews. How does he have any credibility at all? An amazing night in history last night. This won't even be a footnote in history. The second Democratic debate in 2019 is not going to go down as an amazing night in history.
An amazing night in history, I thought, tonight. And I want to ask you about, I think you had to be there was the message I think Biden was trying to use to explain his behavior with the segregation of senators. But you were there with regard to busing. And you talked tonight in that debate about the hurt you felt when you heard him talking about his civil, in fact, to some extent, praising the civility of these old seggies. She was not offering herself up simply as a prosecutor, but a prosecutor equipped with the role of victim as well. She talked about herself as a young girl who was terrified by being in a terrible busing situation.
And he just went on and on and on. So a few weeks ago, Joe Biden was the savior of the party. And last night, it was Kamala Harris because she destroyed Joe Biden. The same guy talking. I tell you what, though. I'm still rooting for this gal. Still rooting for that Marianne Williamson.
First call is to Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I will tell her, girlfriend, you are so on, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up.
Ms. Williamson, we are going thank to you. Have...
Her first call is going to be to the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Well, that gives me hope for the future. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then former Governor Gary Locke joins me in studio for an issue on which he and I disagree. Next.